But now to the big story of the day. The government has said that the first asylum seekers could be flown to Rwanda under its new policy within weeks. It follows the announcement of a pilot which will see people sent to the East African country to claim asylum there, which has sparked backlash across the political spectrum. On Times Radio Breakfast, the Immigration Minister, Tom Pursglove, said that the government was ready to get the plan operational.
We are determined now to get on and operationalise this policy. It will likely not be without its challenges, but we recognise that every day that passes by is a day that people take enormous risks in the Channel. These evil people smugglers and their evil trade continues, and we have to take interventions to put a stop to that, which is precisely what we're doing, and we can't waste a moment in making that happen.
Well, one of the reasons that people are able to seek asylum and the grounds that they can use for it in the UK is because their sexuality may be persecuted in their country of origin. So what impact will this new scheme have on LGBT asylum seekers who wanted to come to the UK but might now end up in Rwanda? Well, I'm joined by Nishan Nathanwe, who's a senior advisor at Rainbow Railroad, which is an organisation which helps LGBT refugees. Nishan, thank you for joining us. What's your initial reaction to this policy that's been announced by the UK government?
Thanks, Ruth. It's great to speak with you. Initial reactions are, you know, shocked, of course. We know that these types of offshore agreements have been implemented by several countries in the past. Australia, for instance, has been offshoring asylum seekers and migrants to Manus Island for several years. Israel actually attempted a similar refugee trading scheme with Rwanda and Uganda, which resulted in nearly 4,000 people going to those countries between 2014 and 2017. And what we've learned from these various types of offshoring agreements is that rather than enabling reasonable responsibility sharing between key resettlement countries, what they in fact do is they erode the universal right to asylum. And more importantly, they do not actually fulfill their stated policy aim, which is to stem the flow of new migrants and refugees into the country. But if you know that people who are fleeing conflict often have nowhere else to go, and so the situation in the country of origin, conflict, individualized persecution, is of course untouched by this kind of policy. And so we know that we can expect more people to still arrive in the UK in search of refuge.
Well, Nishan, one of the arguments from the UK government is that Rwanda is a safe country. In fact, it's so progressive. Look how many women it has in Parliament. It's higher than we have and lots of other countries have. But how concerned are you specifically for LGBT people, and what's the record like there in Rwanda?
Thanks for the question, Ruth. It's an important one. We know that Rwanda, although same-sex intimacy is legal in Rwanda, the country lacks basic legal protections for LGBTQI people. That's in accessing employment and accessing basic goods and services. And there are also concerning reports of various types of human rights abuses. We have reports of arbitrary detention of gay and transgender people as recently as last year. And so we really know for that population in particular, LGBTQI people, it's just not a safe place. On top of that, for those who lack meaningful prospects to integrate in Rwanda, we know that the neighboring countries as well, Uganda, Kenya, criminalize same-sex intimacy. Uganda in particular has very severe legal penalties. And we know that vigilante violence, mob violence is commonplace for LGBTQI people in those countries as well. So, the term safe country, of course, is quite loaded, and it means different things for different populations. And we're pretty confident that Rwanda will not be a safe place for LGBTQI asylum seekers.
But what about people that say, look, you know, there's also got to be an issue for this country. There's 600 people a day on dinghies crossing the Channel. They could have stopped at any country in Europe on their way to us. There is a reason that the government says it wants to control its own borders, and lots of governments say the same. And that, in essence, we don't have different classes of refugees, and we won't make a separate rule to stop LGBT refugees being sent to Uganda and straight or people aren't in the LGBTQI plus community to stay here, because that would be a kind of separation of the sheep from the goats.
Right, that's an interesting argument, Ruth. I think ultimately that argument fails insofar as, you know, refugees are face different kinds of persecution. We know under law the five recognized categories of refugee status are race, religion, nationality, particular opinion, and membership of a particular social group. And depending on what you've been persecuted based on, your options for integration in different contexts are vary quite substantially. And we know that, you know, part of the asylum determination process is reviewing those grounds for asylum and ensuring that people have access to protection based on their individual characteristics. So a blanket policy that treats refugees undifferentiatedly could result in violations of international refugee law. So as far as we can discern here, the idea of a one-stream refugee policy that sends people to Rwanda would be in violation of refugee law.
Mr. Nathanwe, thanks very much. Well, let's look at some of the legal...